Let's read together Micah chapter 3. In this chapter, we have a denunciation of evil rulers and false prophets. Let's begin reading verses 1 through 4. Micah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I said, "Hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones, and chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds." Let's consider a few background notes as we begin our study of Micah chapter 3. A simple outline of the prophecy of Micah would be three messages of judgment and deliverance. Message number 1 is contained in chapters 1 and 2. Message number 2 is contained in chapters 3 through 5. And message number 3 is contained in chapters 6 and 7. Now notice how each message begins with the exhortation to hear. Look at Micah chapter 1, verse 2, the beginning of the first message. "Hear, all you peoples, listen, O earth, and all that is in it." And Micah chapter 3, verse 1, the beginning of the second message. "Hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know justice?" And Micah chapter 6, verse 1, the beginning of the third message. "Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice." So you can see each sermon of judgment and deliverance in the book of Micah begins with this exhortation to hear. We said that each message consisted of judgment and deliverance. In the first message, the judgment part covered all of chapter 1 and most of chapter 2. Remember, chapter 1 predicted the fall of Samaria and the northern kingdom of Israel and the fall of Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah. That's the judgment part of the message. The deliverance part, the good news of the first message, came in the last two verses of chapter 2. Now in the second message, the judgment part is covered here in chapter 3, and the deliverance part is covered in chapters 4 and 5. So let's look at the judgment part of Micah's second message here in chapter 3. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this chapter. We have three doctrinal points. They are like three sub-points in this judgment portion of Micah's second message of judgment and deliverance. So doctrinal point number 1, the Lord will not answer those who practice evil. The Lord will not answer those who practice evil. Verses 1 through 4. In these verses that we just read, we have a denunciation of the leaders and rulers of Judah for their evil practices. In verses 2 and 3, we have a vivid figurative description of how they were treating the people. Verses 2 and 3, once again, "You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones, and chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron." The point here is that the rulers were treating the people like animals. They didn't really care for the people. They treated them like so many cattle that were killed and eaten. Let me ask you here this morning, did you ever treat a person like an animal? You say, "Of course not. Who do you think I am anyway?" But wait a minute. Are you an employer or a boss and have people under you? Did you ever forget that they were people with feelings and just treat them as animals or treat them as parts of a profit-making machine? If so, then we're as guilty as these rulers who were treating the people like animals. Have you ever been a camp counselor? How did you treat the children under you? Did you care for them and look out for their needs? Or did you yell at them and manipulate them and treat them like animals? because they got on your nerves. Just convicting to any of us here. The Lord will not answer those who practice evil. Look at verse 4 once again. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds. When these rulers would cry out to the Lord in their hour of need, the Lord would not hear them. The Lord hid his face, as it were, when he allowed the Babylonians to come in and conquer the kingdom of Judah for her sins. Is it possible that the Lord is not answering your prayers right now? How are you treating other people? Other people in your family? Other people in your fellowship? Other people who work for you? The Lord will not answer those who practice evil. Doctrinal point number 2. The Lord will not guide those who proclaim falsehood. The Lord will not guide those who proclaim falsehood. Verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets, who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. Therefore you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. In verses 5 through 7, the false prophets are denounced. They didn't preach the truth. They preached what the people wanted to hear and what the people were willing to pay for. They proclaimed peace to those who fed them and paid them, but they proclaimed war to those who didn't feed them or reward them. Look at verse 5 once again. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets, who make my people stray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him who puts nothing into their mouths. You follow what's going on there? They were like many preachers today who only preach what people want to hear, even falsehood. Therefore, says the Lord, verses 6 and 7, it will be night for these false prophets. They will have no vision or light or guidance. They will be ashamed because there will be no answer from God. They will be the blind leading the blind. The same is true today. The blind lead the blind because of the lies that are being proclaimed. Think of the lie today, for example, that people are basically good, and as long as you change their environment, people will not sin. What a lie! No wonder modern psychology has failed. The Lord will not guide those who proclaim falsehood. And doctrinal point number 3. The Lord will not protect those who promote injustice. The Lord will not protect those who promote injustice. Verses 9 through 12. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and the rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity, her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. In these verses, all the various leaders in the nation are denounced for their sins of social injustice. The governing authorities are denounced in verses 9 and 10 for perverting justice and distorting all that is right. Think of our own nation and how the standards for moral decency have been changed and distorted. Pornography, for example, is being displayed as art. Perverted sex is being condoned as just an alternative lifestyle. In verse 11, the judges are denounced for taking bribes, and the priests and false prophets are denounced again for being in it just for the money. How applicable all of this is for today. Many are in the ministry just for the money. Money is a root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Now notice that one significant person is not mentioned here with these various leaders of the nation. Who is it? King Hezekiah. Good King Hezekiah was not involved in the corruption all around him. But unfortunately, the people were not like their king. Even though there was a revival during King Hezekiah's reign, it was short-lived, and the sins of social injustice continued. The leaders thought that God was still protecting them. Look at the end of verse 11. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, "Is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us." They thought they were protected by God, but they were not protected by God. And God allowed the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar to sweep in and fulfill the prophecy of verse 12. "Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest." Jeremiah quoted this prophecy of Micah in Jeremiah 26:18, right before the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians and the temple destroyed in 586 BC. The sins of social injustice have their consequences. Let me ask you, are you involved in any kind of injustice in your home or your place of work or your fellowship? The Lord will not protect those who promote injustice, whether it be an individual or a nation. The Lord will not protect those who promote injustice. Now, what about practical application from Micah chapter 3? Don't have a limited view of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Don't have a limited view of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 8, Micah says that in contrast to the false prophets, "I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." Micah was filled with the Spirit of God, and he spoke out against the sin and injustice in the nation. He was filled with the Spirit and preached with righteous power. You know, some Christians have the idea that to be filled with the Spirit means to have some ecstatic spiritual experience or some dramatic display of some spiritual gift. Listen, that's a limited view of what the Bible teaches about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 says that the Spirit-filled believer is one who rejoices in the Lord and is thankful for all things and submits to the authority structures in the home and in the church. And here in Micah chapter 3, we see that the Spirit-filled believer speaks out against sin with righteous power. Are you a Spirit-filled believer here this morning? Don't have a limited view of what it means to be filled with the Spirit.